Okay, I think we are ready for this week's session. Just want to thank everybody for joining us today. Our guest today is Stacy Buechler, who is the Director of Employee Experience. Stacy, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, last week we talked to Brian Petronic, our President and CEO, about, higher level things, the industry, and where things are going, and how he sees things evolving, or how they've evolved from where they were at to where they're at now. And he gave us some forward-looking statements. But I think a lot of the people that are considering joining a franchise want to know, okay, so what specifically is Right at Home doing in regards to caregiver recruitment and retention that helps them, in their business and helps them grow their business?
Yeah.
So let me just start with, your title says that you're in charge of employee experience, and I think that's an interesting title. I imagine it can mean a lot of different things. So what does the Director of Employee Experience do, and is that something specific to Right at Home?
Sure. So it's definitely interesting. So as you think about the industry and what both consumers and employee wants are, it's based upon their experience. So if you think about, Starbucks or Amazon, you think about those experiences when you go in and buy those products or consume those services. And so Director of Employee Experience is really focused on what that employee experience is like. So that ranges from the owner themselves, their office staff, their care staff, and putting together strategic programs and initiatives around that employee experience to ensure that we are a local employer of choice. So a lot of different aspects to the job, but it really is a subject matter expert on employees.
Okay, when we say employees, who are we referring to in this regard?
Great question. So employees would mean your office staff support. So if you're an owner, it's office staff support. As well as your care staff. So we look at both segments because guiding both of those experiences are very critical and are a critical piece to the owner's business.
Okay. All right. I think that makes sense. So it's not specific to Right at Home. Other companies are doing this, but our focus is on the office staff and the caregivers.
Absolutely. So what you'll see with Right at Home that's a little bit unique is that we have a Director of Employee Experience and we have a Director of Client Experience. And both of these roles work together tandemly to tie together the employee experience and client experience because a lot of the initiatives and the outcomes tie together. So I would say we're a little bit more ahead of the curve and unique in that we're partnering on initiatives to make sure that we're both in line with what the client is experiencing as well as the employee, so they're both aligned.
And that's the benefit that the business owner gets from both sides of the fence.
Absolutely. So employee experience and client experience are lockstep. As we roll out initiatives, we incorporate the models and the framework are similar so that you're not having a different framework for client experience and employee experience. So we're not trying to teach on two different models. We've combined them together so that it's one unique model.
Okay. We'll touch on that just a little bit. Let me back up just a second. When I talked to Brian last week, we talked about the common perception that's out there that there's a caregiver shortage.
Yeah.
In your experience, when you're talking to our owners, is there a caregiver shortage or isn't there? Or, talk about how that is being perceived by our owners, and I guess, what are they doing about it?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Brad, and we hear that all the time. And obviously, it's an industry hot topic. The data shows that the amount of folks coming out of CNA schools, nursing schools, the data is going to show that there is a shortage. However, what the Right at Home system and the owners will say is some folks have a caregiver shortage, some don't. So really how we pinpoint that is it's very market specific. So depending upon what market you're in and what the demographic is made up in the market and the number of employees. So unemployment, we know nationwide is at an all-time low. And it is a fight to get talent in the door. So I would say, yes, there is a shortage. For those owners that say that they don't have a shortage, they have a strong local employment brand. So what that means is they're known in their community as being an employer of choice. And really what drives that is their culture, their office culture. So these owners treat their employees not like a number. They treat them like an individual, whether they're care staff or office staff. Everyone's on the same level. And then they have various tools and resources at their fingertips. You know, they remain in constant communication with their care staff. They're making sure that the client's needs are being met. They're meeting the caregivers with where they're at. So they're really doing a lot of maybe different things that what we would call, we use the terms ordinary to extraordinary here. So we look at every circumstance and say, what does ordinary look like? And how can we take that to extraordinary? And that is what these owners are doing by taking their experience to extraordinary. They're doing things that their local competitors aren't willing to do.
So, you know, Alan Hager, he was our founder, and he actually was a caregiver and had that experience, and that's helped really differentiate us from a lot of our competitors simply because we understand things from a caregiver's perspective due to his background.
Absolutely.
So what are some of those things that we do? Just, you know, throw some examples out that are extraordinary as opposed to ordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always have that lens of looking at it from the other's point of view. So putting yourself in the caregiver's shoes. So, you know, we have various programs and tools out there. We also have, I think, really where the rubber meets the road here, and especially within our system, is we have a large group of engaged owners, meaning these owners engage with us at corporate on a regular basis, and they share best practices. And they share what they're doing in their community that's differentiating them and enabling them to be an employer of choice and seeing it from, you know, the side of a caregiver and you know, kind of the shoes that Alan's walked in. So, you know, a very unique example, and this can tie back into the culture piece that I just talked to and becoming an employer of choice. We recently had an owner in our Texas market that had a caregiver call in because their tire was flat. And so the owner kind of had two paths to take. They could have taken the path of, you know what, the typical caregiver calling in again, calling off the shift, we got to fill, and kind of move on.
Go figure it out yourself.
Right. Go figure it out yourself. So with that scenario, you also have to think about what the client impact is, because that client is depending upon that caregiver that they know to come and look after them and give them those services that they've enlisted in. So then they would have been at a point where they would have had to send another caregiver that the client didn't know, and it would have created a not-so-great client experience. So in this example, what the owner did was the owner brought the caregiver the company car. So this owner has a ride-at-home car. They have two vehicles. Gave the keys to the caregiver and said, go cover your shift. I'll make sure your tire gets fixed, and so on and so forth. So gave the keys to the caregiver. Caregiver went on the shift. Owner then went and got the tire changed and fixed the flat, and problem solved. So doing things like that, going above and beyond and meeting that caregiver where they're at, that creates a sense of, I would say, stickiness. Like these employees are not going to leave an employer that sticks their neck out to help them out and do what this owner did. So when we talk about ordinary would be, again, rescheduling, letting the caregiver handle it on their own. Extraordinary is handing them the keys and say, go fill your shift. Don't worry about your car. I got it for you.
You know, and I guess that comes back to more maybe on the retention side than the recruiting side, but, you know, it probably costs that owner an hour of his time.
Right.
And, you know, maybe $50 or less of money out of his pocket.
Right.
But what was the value that he gained in the loyalty that he has now with that caregiver who, you know, saw that he went the extra mile and did something extraordinary?
Absolutely. And that you can't put a value on. It's truly priceless. So you're going to have a loyal employee who's going to stay with you because they're going to know that you take care of them, but what they're also going to do is they're going to tell their friends and their family about what you did for them. And they're going to create that employment brand for those folks to say, gosh, that's an employer that I would really want to work for. So really, you're kind of assisting on both the recruiting side by building that local employment brand to say, that's someone I really want to work for. And then on the retention side, you're building an employee who is going to be loyal and is going to be less likely to call out on shifts and leave to go to the next competitor for, 50 cents more an hour.
Yeah, I know that our owners routinely receive awards for best place to work. And I know that our most recent one was out of Minnesota, where that owner there, again, won the award of best place to work. And a lot of that has to do with employing a lot of the strategies. And I know that he works closely with corporate in that regard.
Absolutely.
To deploy some of those. So
yeah.
What
yeah.
you're saying is, people join a franchise to follow a process and a system.
Absolutely.
And we've got those processes and systems. As long as they're following it, they can get the success too.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up, Brad, because we really, at corporate, we really try to, again, harness all of those system best practices and bring them back and share them back out with the system. So a few things that we've done is we've created a employee experience task force. So this task force is a membership group of 10 owners. The Minnesota owner happens to be in the group. but this is a group of owners that are passionate around the employee experience and that can help share best practices around what they're doing with the experience. But then what they also do is they offer their feedback, their insights, and then they also help us vet certain programs. So as we roll out different initiatives and programs, whether it comes to recruitment or retention, we like to test them to make sure that they work because we at corporate don't like to make decisions in a vacuum, and we know that the proof is in the pudding when you implement in the field. So we really rely on this task force and owners outside of the task force. Again, we have many engaged owners that we rely on to really test and prove some of the tactics that we're rolling out.
So the ones that are proven that work, we roll out as part of our system and the programs and the tools that they can use. The ones that don't, we go back and we retool them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So most recently, we vetted an applicant tracking and digital onboarding vendor. And after making that selection, we wanted our owners to test to make sure that the workflows and the system would work for what our hiring process is here at Right at Home. So we had a group of owners test that for the last 6 months, and we're just now rolling out this company as an approved partner, which is very exciting because it brings about some capabilities that we haven't had as a system before, especially with the electronic onboarding.
Okay. And Stacey, what's exciting to hear with what you're describing is that, I tell people who go through our research process, collaboration is one of our core values, and to me it's one of our most valuable ones to the owners because we do share best practices.
Absolutely.
They can learn from these task force that are out there implementing and testing, and then we are giving it out to the system as a tried and tested, completely vetted strategy or
right.
program.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, good. All right. So let's keep talking. One of the things that also sounds impressive. That I want you to talk about is when people go, so what are you doing to address, the caregiver experience, that employee experience? And I know that you have been working hard with your team, and you've created a 48-page playbook, a caregiver playbook. Now, I don't know anybody else in the industry that's got a 48-page playbook that says, look, here's all kinds of stuff for you to potentially try and implement. That just shows a lot of forethought that you guys have been putting into this. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So that's that project in and of itself took a lot of system feedback and understanding the hiring process. And when we're looking at especially recruitment, the recruiting landscape has changed over the last 5 years. So we used to be able to post jobs and just be able to have candidates apply, walk in the door, we had no problems getting people to apply and hire. But again, that landscape has changed. It's gone to more where the recruiting piece is your marketing. So you're marketing who you are as an employer, and you're marketing your differentiators. So understanding your local market is very important when it comes to recruiting, because you need to understand who your competitors are. So it could be other home care agencies, it could be independent living communities, it could be a local hospital, it could be the local Starbucks or any of the other companies that offer services. And so in looking at that, you know, you really want to diversify your approach when it comes to recruiting. And so understanding what that local market is and how it's composed will help you drive that strategy. And so with the playbook, again, it's recruiting is not a function of posting and getting applicants. It's having a strong employment brand. So you've heard me say employment brand quite a few times already on the call today. Having that strong employment brand on your local website, through your job postings, but also how you're treating candidates when you're bringing them through the recruiting process. So recruiting caregivers is a little bit different because these folks with the skill set get recruited every day. They get phone calls from different companies. You know, they probably get 3 to 5 calls a week. And so how do you differentiate yourself from those other callers mm-hmm. who are calling you, and especially the quality caregivers, because those are the ones that folks are really trying to seek. So, again, the playbook gives you different tactics on how to source various demographics. So if you're looking for individuals that are, you know, recent empty nesters or retirees that are still healthy and can work, or if you're targeting that CNA student that's still in school and is just about to graduate. So we really help try to give you some targeted strategies on who to target and how you go about advertising your employment brand. But then we also talk in the playbook around tactics on your hiring process and how to quickly get people in. So recommended response times and responding quickly. And again, how you treat those candidates throughout the process so that you're getting to know them as a person. And not they're not just a number that you're trying to get through right. and corral through a process. We want to get to know you. We're happy that you have interest and want to join the Right at Home family. We want to get to know you. So it's the playbook is centered around a lot of those practices, those targeted practices to help you differentiate yourself throughout that hiring process.
Now, does it go beyond just the hiring? I mean, do we talk about the right way for orientation or, you know, a training, things along those lines?
So it actually, the playbook stops at orientation and onboarding. So really what we say is retention. Retention really is that onboarding piece. And so we have some other programs built out there. But that is probably one of our most immediate focuses right now is onboarding and onboarding best practices. So, you know, we just had our annual conference, Home Improvement in Dallas, and you know, I had a session of 80 folks, which, again, having 80 folks in one room talking to a topic, that's a lot. So
it's
there's
a
lot.
Topic.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah.
So, you know, just sharing practices around effective onboarding and onboarding strategies, because again, how you onboard your employees is going to affect the retention. So we really want to make sure that our system is well aware of best practices around onboarding. And what I also like to say here is that, and this is what I tell our owners as well, is the onboarding process should be a reflection of your hiring process. So when you're giving that candidate an extraordinary experience and getting to know them and asking them how their day is going and remembering different pieces about this candidate throughout the hiring process at every touch,
mm-hmm.
It's continuing that process when you're onboarding and it's setting those clear expectations on what they can expect and the first week or their first shift, their first week, their first 90 days. So it's helping them understand what that looks like and painting that expectation.
That's awesome. Good, good. Clearly a lot of thought being put into that, and thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So let me talk about retention for a second here. What I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the key areas that you believe we need to focus on or that we do focus on that really strikes a chord when trying to retain, you know, an employee segment that has a high rate of turnover typically?
Yeah, great question. Great question. And it's a daily challenge for owners. Really what we're getting at here is, you know, a couple things come to mind when you ask that question. The first piece is that we have a really great program and a partner that helps us measure that satisfaction and the retention. So we have a program that you get monthly reports, and with this program, we reach out to both clients and caregivers to understand how are we doing? How are we doing as a service provider, and how are we doing as an employer? So through this program, owners get feedback from employees, but at the corporate level, we also get system-wide data to help us roll up key themes and common themes, as well as we're able to compare ourselves against the industry. And what the industry tells us, and industry, and then through these the numbers, and then as well as what our owners say and caregivers say, is that the top piece or the top concern is communication. So making sure that caregivers feel like they have the ability to communicate with office staff on a regular basis, should they need anything, whether there's any changes in conditions with the client, any client needs, communication is key. Because if you think about it, we're operating out of our offices, but the caregivers are doing services in the home. So at times they can feel like they're on an island. And so if we're not doing our best to reach out and stay in communication, that level of engagement with that caregiver tends to diminish. I would also say that training is a huge, huge topic and is a big determinant of engagement and retention. So ensuring that you're offering various training opportunities. We have Right at Home University. Mm-hmm. We continue to build out those classes and sessions. We have a lot of owners that do a lot with Right at Home University that they allow their care staff to do some independent study, but then they also have, required training based upon the state rules and regulations.
Right.
So we have a very robust training program that we offer for care staff. And then finally, what I would say, the third kind of measure of retention would be recognition. So, the work that these caregivers are doing for our system, it's astounding. A lot of times people forget that it's the little things like the thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, or thank you for helping Mrs. Smith today, or thank you for, coming in to help out on a shift that someone else called off on to ensure that, Mr. Anderson was looked after. So it's really just recognizing the work. And so we have various, again, different programs that we recommend and structures in place to help our owners put those programs together and recognize the employees. We also have a corporate initiative around, we have Professional Caregivers Week in November. And what that is that's meant to elevate the role of the caregiver and really recognize the work that they do. So we do, we roll out that program starting in the fall and leading up to, and then we give owners tools and resources to help celebrate their care staff.
Yeah, it's amazing, the power of a thank you. And it doesn't cost anything.
Absolutely.
I think some of our most successful owners, the one thing that I see in common is that they're all just nice.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come to work, you do business with people that you like.
Right.
You work for an employer that you like. Why do you like them? Because they're just nice people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. And what you said hit the nail on the head with what our industry is telling us. So we have another partner that we utilize that gets feedback from caregivers that are applying at different organizations. And then they come back and say, okay, why did you join a specific company or location? What made you actually, sign on the dotted line and say, yes, I want to work for this person? And their most recent study that they released with the results, it said, I've started working for them because they were nice. The recruiter was nice. The office staff was nice. So, again, that goes along with the culture, but also the importance of having the right office staff in place to ensure that everyone's lockstep around what experience we're providing, whether it's a client that's calling in, a caregiver that's calling in, or another staff member that's calling in, so or stopping in. So making sure that we are looking at, again, treating our staff just as we would a client is paramount.
Okay, good, good. So when we are talking about strategies and tools and programs that have been built around retention, one of the ones that I think we've had in our arsenal for a while is care rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that just a little bit as an example of what some of our owners are able to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So care rewards is a program. It's a points-based program to where caregivers can accumulate points to get receive prizes. So it's a little bit like to give you a good example and paint the picture. It's like a credit card rewards program. So you know, if you complete so many training hours, you get X amount of points. If you go 3 months without a call in or being late to a shift, you get X amount of points. So really, what these caregivers are doing are building a point bank, and then they can go in and redeem for various rewards, gift cards, products, services, you know, movie certificates, you know, goods, you know, iPods, kind of just whatever, you know, that preference is. We have a whole menu. So we really look to give owners some structure and some programs so that they can recognize their employees and especially when they are reinforcing the good behavior.
You know, and that's tangible, Stacey, and I think that's I think it's good that we offer that. But you know, what I'm also hearing from owners that I talk to, they do some things that are intangible, also such as, you know, I have a quarterly open house.
Mm-hmm.
I let all my caregivers and their family come in. We have some snacks and drinks, and you know, the kids get to come in and see where mom or dad work. And the thing is that they tell me that even when the caregivers don't show up at the open house, they know that it's there for them,
right.
And that goes a long way. It's just because they're making that effort.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the caregiver spotlight. I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but
yeah.
You know, we love to celebrate the caregiver.
Absolutely.
Without the caregiver, who is our product, we don't have a service.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about how we celebrate them through the our weekly newsletter, the Caregiver Spotlight. What's that about?
Yeah. So great question. And I'm glad that you made that point. Is we talk about how we differentiate ourselves, and you know, you can go down the street and get home care services from, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 other competitors. But really, where we differentiate is our caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So selecting those caregivers, making sure they're quality, that we're matching them well with the client. Again, it's paramount. So in talking about the caregiver spotlight, you know, what we really try to do is give owners tools to communicate with their care staff on a regular basis. So we have templates and various formats, so with content pre-built, so that you can customize that and also push that out to caregivers. We have owners that have started creating closed Facebook groups, caregiver Facebook groups, to connect. So you're not only, again, if you're thinking, and this idea is a really great idea, because you're pulling a group of employees that doesn't have access to peers. Again, because they're at home, they're in home delivering a service.
Mm-hmm.
They don't typically get the interaction with their peers,
right.
Be able to talk to them about, you know, oh, I've experienced this, how have you handled it? So a lot of our owners have implemented this Facebook page to connect their caregivers, but they're also using it as a polling to say, okay, we're starting to plan out what our training is for this quarter. What are the topics you all want to hear from?
Mm-hmm.
then they're also recognizing. So really what they're doing is they're taking their recognition program. So a lot of our owners, or many of our owners, do either a caregiver week or caregiver the month program.
Yep.
And they use that to highlight and recognize one of their care staff that's gone above and beyond during that time frame.
Yeah, and I guess that leads into my final question for you, which is our ultimate, lack of a better word, for recruitment, retention, but it's our ultimate way of celebrating the caregiver. Talk about the Riot Homes Caregiver of the Year Award and what's that play? Well, play out for the caregivers as well as the owners?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a Caregiver of the Year program where we recognize caregivers throughout our system. It's a corporate-run program, but the selection is not done by corporate staff. It's done by our owners and folks that are in our community. So really what that's meant to do is to recognize, again, the wonderful work that the care staff is doing. A lot of our caregivers that we've recognized for Caregiver of the Year are the ones that are loyal, that have been with the owner's offices for a while. They're the ones that they call on at the drop of the hat when they need something. So Caregiver of the Year is just an amazing program that we offer to recognize those caregivers. And we really like to engage, obviously the owners are the ones that understand, office staff are the ones that know the work that's going on in the field. And so
right.
We rely on the owners to make the nomination for Caregiver of the Year. So what happens is we have the nomination period, and then we choose four regional winners, and then we have a national Caregiver of the Year. So really we're recognizing five top caregivers of our system.
What do the regional winners win?
So the regional winners win $1,000 cash reward, as well as a plaque and then a special certificate and letter from the president.
Very nice.
The National Caregiver of the Year wins a $5,000 cash prize, a trip to the location where we have Home Improvement, because we unveil the National Caregiver of the Year at Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also get that paid trip as well as services. So I know this most recent Caregiver of the Year winner got a spa retreat and just really got pampered while they were there. So and then the recognition and accolades.
And you know, the thing that's important here is that while there's the Caregiver of the Year and the four regionals, all the other caregivers see how we celebrate the caregiver, and they know that they're
Absolutely.
Part of the right system to
Absolutely.
Do that. Well, I know we're out of time, and I want to thank you for your time today. It's reassuring to know that you and Right at Home, the corporate team, are focused daily on caregiver recruitment and retention issues. I'm sure our owners appreciate the support provided to them with the different strategies and tools that they have at their disposal that helps them successfully navigate through these difficult issues and help grow their business. So, again, thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, folks that are listening, please join us next week when Right at Home President and CEO Brian Petronic discusses how in-home care fits into the healthcare continuum. Until then, be kind and be well.